The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Welcome back to Sad Piece Show. Welcome back to Side Piece. Yeah. Welcome back to Side Piece Show. God, I need to be a singer. Like ASAP. I need to go try out for American Idol. You know what? Honestly, my singing is better than anything else that's going on in my house. So that probably says a lot. Where do I start? I have to resort to singing because I'm running out of alcohol. So freaking Josh has back surgery because he's an old man. But like back surgery, like serious, like fusion plates, like the whole works, okay? And he's out, like down for the count for, I think, like 6 weeks. Let me just tell you this. I'm talking to his nurse, and she's reading me the instructions. And she's like, okay, so no bending or pulling, I mean, lifting, moving, anything over 10 pounds for 6 weeks. And I'm like, pardon moi? We have a 4 and 3 year old, so that's not going to work. And she's like, well, sorry about your luck. And then proceeds to tell me though, that sexual activity and sexual intercourse, however, can resume in 7 days. So let me get this straight. My husband is useless around the house with my children. And I'm basically solo for the next 6 weeks. Oh, by the way, on top of taking care of him, so now I have 3 kids to take care of. But we can have sex again on our, I think the instructions were like side in 7 days. So you know what that means, you guys? Everybody wins. If that's not good news enough, then on top of knowing I'm going to have to take care of Josh around the clock, like no sleep because, you know, you have to wake up in the middle of the night, take X, Y, and Z pills, and then make sure the pillows are adjusted and the covers are okay. And, you know, because men are complete freaking babies. Like they get a paper cut and it's like they just birthed a child. So you can imagine what I'm in for with this now. So back to baby 3, no sleep, taking care of him all night. But I'm like, okay, at least I'll have a tiny bit of breather during the day, just taking care of him because the kids are in school. But nope, because that would actually be beneficial to me. Sunday night at like 8 p.m., my kid's school sends an email out that a kid in Vivi's class tested positive for COVID. So Vivi has to, because she was exposed and the whole class was exposed, all of them have to be out of school for the entire week. Not like a day, 2, 3, you know, days, half the week, all week. So we're already super celebrating because Nurse Ratchet here is taking care of Josh on the clock. I thought I would get somewhat of a breather, being able to get some work done during the day, just be Nurse Ratchet to Josh. Not including sexual intercourse. I can tell you that for sure. And then add on, my kid now is stuck home for the week with me because of COVID. I also found out 2 other classes out of 6 at my kid's school are shut down for the week because of COVID. I honestly can't even hear myself thinking right now because they're screaming so loud in the background. So yeah, this is my life right now. So welcome to Side Piece Show. So I hope that you guys are having just as wonderful of a week as I am, because let me tell you, it is pure amazingness over here. I don't even know what the hell is going on Bravo, other than the hot mic thing where Lisa goes ballistic while the mic is still on and then throws her mic pack at the camera guy and like, peace, I'm out. Other than that, this is my life. Nurse Ratched, trying to tame the maniacs. I haven't even been able to caught up on my Bravo shows. And P.S., I'm still kind of freaking out and in like a cloud of lunatic craziness over the fact that I just had Brian Austin Green on my show. But what might be even more amazing than this awesomeness that I've had at the house this week is my guest. I just went from the OG of Real Housewives of New York, Jill Zarin. Like, I couldn't even believe I'm talking to the OG of Roni, Jill freaking Zarin, and how awesomely amazing she was. And now, the new queen to step foot onto Real Housewives of New York. She is as hot as all the amazingness, the drama, the fashion that she brought to the show this season. I mean, in epic proportions, she rocked it. The first African-American cast to ever hit Real Housewives of New York. Yes, you guys, I have for you the one and only Ebony K. Williams.
I'm Alyssa. How are you?
So good to see you.
Good to see you too. Thank you for your patience. It's just been one of those days.
Listen, it's one of those days. I have a 4 and a 3-year-old. So,
oh my gosh.
It's one of those days. Every day. You know what? Real quick, I wrote you a poem.
Oh God. Okay. Let me listen.
She stepped onto the screen ready to slay. Little did she know some of the girls like to play. Elegance, sophistication, and amazing Gucci jackets she brought to the table. She would even try to educate the ladies if she were able. The first African-American housewife in the Big Apple brought nothing but class. But don't get it twisted. If you come for her, she can still kick some ass. Okay. It's not my mouth you want to hear. We all know. So lucky to have with us from the Real Housewives of New York City show, Ebony K. Williams.
Woo! That was great.
Thank you. I was
really, that was dope. And my face hurts now from smiling from ear to ear. That's amazing.
I was really excited for this. I literally had it probably 10 longer, but I was like, all right, you psycho, like shorten it a little bit. Like this is
awesome. I'm so touched.
No, I was pumped. Okay. Awesome. How are you? I mean, I was saying,
yeah,
Ebony, the first, I mean, I'm a fan, right? I've watched every Housewives from episode 1, season 1.
Same.
Is it insane? Because it's insane to me that it took, 13 seasons?
Yeah.
For Real Housewives in New York City to get an African-American woman on?
So yes, the short answer, Melissa, of course, it's insane. Andy says it's insane. We all, you know, kind of can, reasonable minds can agree. It's just kind of consciously unacceptable to be in the most diverse, fantastic, by the way, city in the world, and not have an incredible Black woman a part of the cast. That said, separate point, now that I've done it for a season, I can tell you that adding women to Roni, and I think it's a bit particular to Roni, is hard. The cast is, I don't know. I mean, I've never been a part of another cast, Melissa, but I can tell you, let's just say it's not an easy thing to pierce that particular dynamic because it's you've got women who have literally been friends for 20 and 30 years, like legitimately.
Right.
They are at some point the franchises become a thing of their own. So now that I've done it, I will say it wasn't easy. That's what I will say. It was not easy.
You know what, too? I was like thinking about it because I'm thinking about you and all this. And I, again, this is just me, my thought as like a fan, as a viewer who's seen it all. I feel like we didn't get the best, and please tell me if I'm wrong. I feel that we didn't get the best Ebony because I feel like you were always on the defense from the get-go.
Yeah, I personally, Melissa, I didn't feel I was on the defense just because that's not really how I roll. I would say that you guys got a sliver of Ebony.
Right.
And you know, every housewife says this, it's the edit, it's this. I'm not upset with the edit. I think what you did see is me, that's authentic to me. But there was so much like fun stuff too. Like I got my lips done for the first time, which was my first, like the first time anybody put a needle in my face ever in life. I went to Leah when she was quarantining and she talked me into it. And it was really fun. I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. The point is like, it was silly. It was fun. It was a ridiculous side of me. Cause I'm a big baby when it comes to pain. And as you may or may not know, your lips are like not a great place to start when you're getting cosmetic
procedures. And the worst pain, like.
Girl, I was like, the fuck. Anyways.
Horrific.
But none of that was shown. You know what I mean? So some of that, you know, kind of more comedic banter and more lifestyle, like some of the things that people love about Housewives shows. That's why we watch it from day one, right? The glamour, the glitz, the kind of haughty-taught aspects of the glamorous life of women in these big cities. You just didn't see that on season 13 because yeah. There was so much heaviness that was real, that was going on, that kind of, I don't know, upstaged, if you will, some of those other aspects of my personality. So yeah, I mean, I think there's a whole lot more to me than what season 13 showed, but I'm not going to undermine that's me too.
Right, totally.
Of like a beautiful, brilliant cut diamond, multifacets.
I mean, you came on as what, Leah's friend? Is that how like the-
That's how they introduced me, yes.
Right.
I think the cat's out of the bag now. I think everybody knows. I didn't have a pre-existing relationship with really any of the ladies, which is very commonplace nowadays with these housewife shows. Is, you know, at some point they're looking for, you know, unique women and there's a casting process. So yeah, you know, I was really getting to know all of the women, including Leah, in real time as we were filming. And as you might imagine, that was a complicated process. You know, it's like, and I'm a student of people, Melissa. So, and I take it very like, authentically. And so, you know, when you see my relationships with these women ebbing and flowing and even post filming and post airing of the show, right. I mean, that's natural, right? Like your first year, like when you think of some of the friends that you have now, when you think of the first year of those friendships with those women, it probably was a lot going on.
Totally.
You know? And then you add millions of viewers and the press and all of that. They're incredibly complicated dynamics.
The cameras, the age gap. I mean, I don't know who I was talking to, but they're like, it's just so insane that like you have someone in their 30s and you have someone in their 50s.
And 60s.
And 60s. And it's like, you're trying to gel. And by the way, meet each other for the first time, get along, be secluded on some cast trips together.
In the middle of COVID.
In the middle of COVID.
Not even like, you know, it's like be secluded. It was just, girl, it was a lot going on. And then it's also like beyond the age gap, it's the cultural gap and beyond race, right? Like I'm a girl from the South who's like been in New York for 7 years. Like there's just all of these different dynamics at play.
Totally. Well, listen, you said, you know, because when I talk to people from like OC.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Vicky, like the OG, right? Who's been there from the get-go. Ramona's been there from the get-go. Luann, Sonia, pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm always like, were you, and if you had seen it prior and you'd seen them and like the monstrosity that they can be, I'm like, were you, what was like, what were you, it's not like you didn't know.
What was I thinking?
Yes.
I was thinking, first of all, I'm a fan. So I was thinking this is a very cool opportunity to be a part of like something that's, that's a cultural iconic thing. You know what I mean? And I'm also a nerd, Melissa. So I'm a nerd, I'm a lawyer, and I'm a journalist. So how could I not? Like, it's the opposite. How do I not? How does my intellectual and cultural curiosity and pop culture curiosity not afford me the opportunity of a lifetime to pierce this cultural juggernaut? And then from the more altruistic side of me, also I don't have to be the first Black housewife, right? I get right. to be the Black housewife. Right. And I'm privileged and honored to be able to show just a glimpse of what that, you know, kind of a magical special element that Black women tend to possess, and just, you know, offer a small dose of that to this historic show that ultimately is so about all of the women of New York City. So really the question isn't, what was I thinking? It was more like, how could I not do this?
Right. But were you just like, because again, for me too, it'd be the same way. Like, oh my gosh, I get to do this. A, it's the housewives.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, that's it. But then you're like, I'm going to freaking do it with Ramona, with Luann, with Sonia. So were you just like thinking it was going to be so amazing and not expecting what happened?
Yes, yes, a million times, girl. I thought it was going to be. And listen, there was a lot of it that was amazing. I really do think that scapegoat any one mechanism here, but I think a lot of the press and a lot of the social has made this whole thing like a lot more negative than I feel it was and is even. Even my current relationships with the women, which I don't shy away from the, you know, complications of those, you know,
right.
any you hear me talk about recently and some that are forthcoming, we are where we are. But yeah. I don't know, maybe it's, I was having my accountability retreat with my best friend last weekend in DC. And she made a note to me, which, because I know a lot of people's perception of me, which isn't incorrect, is that I bring a level of intensity and seriousness and on and on and on. True. But I also am like shockingly optimistic, Melissa.
Yeah.
And that's why I do this work. And when I say this work, I'm not talking about Roni. I'm talking about the work of being a journalist who has the audacity to work to liberate marginalized people of all sorts. This morning, for instance, and you know, I just say this to you because I feel like I can just talk to you. I read a piece in the New York Times about how fucking terrifying it is to be Jewish in America right now. And I read the piece, and I mean, we all saw what happened in Texas last week, and it's not an anomaly. And the point is, and then I sat for an hour and kind of just engaged with most of my super close Jewish friends about this. Like, so this is like, it's not a housewives thing. It's not a Black Shabbat thing. It's not a Harlem night thing. Like, this is the fuck I do every day.
Right. Totally.
Because I believe it actually makes a difference.
Right.
I'm crazy enough, girl, to think that by calling a thing, calling it out, letting my friends know that if I can provide cover for you in a moment where it's really scary for you, that will make a difference.
Totally. So, you know, but like you just said, like you read this article, right? I mean, people are scared. Look what's happening on the subway. Like, look everywhere. What is happening still? Like, and freaking where we are now in 2022, like this, it's almost as bad as it's ever been.
Yeah. And so because I believe in that, like I'm never going to shy away from the, because I believe not in the cancellation of people because of their views. Like there was even, it's about the engagement. Like I really fucking believe in that. I believe in the conversation. I believe not because we're going to get to a place of like simultaneous viewpoints, but like if we can, if me being on Roni, right, or some of the other brilliant women of color or different cultural or religious identity or sexual orientation,
right,
can be on these amazing global platforms and humanize what it is to be a Black woman, a gay woman, a trans woman, a Jewish woman, a Muslim woman,
right?
Fill in the blank. Like, that's how it changes. I personally don't think you can legislate morality. I think I'm a lawyer, so the law has to be right.
Right.
But in that process, there has to be like a connectedness. And that's what you really see me trying. And I will, you know, God willing, continue to try to build with the women of Roni.
Is that why it was tough though? Because there was obviously a disconnect. Like you said, like most people say, listen, we can all have an opinion. You don't have to have mine. But like as adults, as educated women, like you say you are, at least be my side. and hear me, right? Not just listen, but hear me. And is that what was so tough? Is because, again, me looking, I felt like you weren't being heard. Like it was...
Well, I wasn't being heard, but now that I know more, because I see how the whole machine works, you know, Carol Radziwill said on the Behind the Rope podcast, I believe, you know, that half of the conflict that you as viewers see on the show is not about what you're seeing on the show. It's about the show.
Right.
Right. And so now what I realize is I wasn't being heard. I don't necessarily know, Melissa, if I wasn't being heard because they were so deeply hostile. My castmates were so deeply hostile to the substance of the conversation. That's possible. I won't say it's off the table. But now I'm considering maybe the hostility and the shutting down and the stonewalling. Right. You can see I've been in a lot of relationship therapy. See, none of that was shown on the season either. But all of that, I think, also probably was a result of they're 13 years into the game, most of them.
Yeah.
And they're also self-producing a show.
Totally.
And if you're deciding, I don't want this to be the storyline of the show, or I don't want to spend too much time here in this scene around this topic because I'm not the authority and I don't want to look, you know, I don't want to have a power dynamic at play here that doesn't make me the center point of the scene. Right. That's probably what's also going on. And I was so kind of naive and green to it that I'm really like sitting in the substance of these talks. And they're like, girl, we're doing a TV show.
Right. Listen, they're vet. Like someone said that they live to be a housewife, right? Like that's their thing. There's nothing bigger than being.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a very poignant point. Nothing is bigger in their world. And that's not a critique or condemnation, like from the paycheck to the impact it has on their personal and professional lives. I get it. I just am not similarly positioned.
Right.
It's not the biggest thing in my world. So therefore we're coming at it, all five of us, we're coming at it with a different kind of currency.
Right.
And a different urgency. And like, everybody had an agenda. So this notion of like, oh, Ebony came on with agenda. Well, honey, wake up, honey. Everybody from everywhere, every season, every city has an agenda. It just so happens that some people's agenda, I have to be the most entertaining housewife that this franchise has ever seen. And you can see it, right? I think we've all seen, especially some newer housewives who have studied the model of the show. And they've decided that, you know, maybe elements of chaos, messiness, conflict, those are the things that those are the top of their agenda to present as a top tier housewife.
Totally.
I got it. I'm with it. I simply have a different agenda, a different incentive structure.
Right.
When those different incentives kind of find themselves in conflict, that's where it gets dicey.
It goes. Speaking of agenda, what did you think about Bershawn coming onto the scene?
Well, I want to say, Melissa, I think it's great that Bravo had and the production company was to me savvy enough to say it's not really appropriate to have a singular Black female voice on this season. So I think the duality of at least, you know, I think it could have been more women of color, of also different, like where are the Latino women, whatever.
Right.
But I think just having at least two Black women on the show at the same time is excellent. So I want to be clear about that. And that's why you saw me being so aggressive with filming with my dear friend, Natalie, pulling my good friend, long-term friend, Devin Simone into the mix, you know, and really trying to exemplify the beautiful diversity within Black womanhood. So I think the addition of Bershawn in that way is fantastic. I think Bershawn's her own woman, you know, and what was very clear, the first night I ever met Bershawn Shaw was that night, that Harlem night.
Ever.
Right. So I'd interviewed Bershawn as a journalist when I was moonlighting at OWN, back in 2013, but it was a different capacity, you know, that was literally 10 years ago almost. And we kept it moving. So really meeting her as a person was in Harlem as a friend of Ramona's, right? That's the capacity. And I think we all kind of can be honest about, you know, in kind of a, a possible full-time addition to the show. I think we all know that.
Right,
so there's a lot at play there. And Bershawn chose to use the night and her time really on the show to represent a point of view that I found undermining to my intention of kind of just liberating and pointing out the beautiful distinctions of our culture and inviting these new women to that paradigm.
Right.
Rashawn, which she's not alone, many people, many Black people, people of color feel that the best way to go about this work is to kind of sit in assimilation, you know, right. And kind of bypass the points of distinction. I find that work problematic. She does not, or at least that's what I was getting from her, you know,
right. And
therein lies the thing. But that said, I don't think it's a bad thing to see Black women who disagree on the ways in which, because I think this is like everything else in America. I think 99% of Americans, Melissa, are good faith Americans who want the best for this country. I think obviously you've got about 40-ish percent of us that totally disagree around right. how that looks.
Totally.
But I think if we can, like you said, be adults, grow the fuck up,
totally.
Put the egos down, just like that's the biggest part. So much of this is ego driven.
I know, but did you ever think that the egos would not be flying high the whole time?
I did. I guess, again, this is where I get a little.
You thought, you're like, they're going to welcome me. We're going to be cool and friends. And like,
they're going to see that like, I'm not coming for them. I think that's what I thought. I thought they're going to see, like, I'm not trying to come for you. I'm not trying to cancel you. And you see it working a little in the beginning with the health conversation that me and Ramona have, right? And she even said it in the confessional, like, you know, kind of the way she presented it didn't make me feel like I was the bad guy, so I could hear her. So like the technique does work. I employed this technique for 5 years on Fox News, fairly successfully.
Right.
And I think that's part of why I was cast.
Right.
I think again, the dynamics here are even more amplified and so in some ways more intense than even at FNC. So I think that's what people, you know, got a glimpse of. But I have no permanent enemies. I have permanent interest, and I welcome the opportunity to continue to explore the platform with these women and with new women too. I mean, I've got to think that season 14 of Roni is going to have some different elements at play.
What do you think? You know, obviously, I don't even know where you stand. I hear so much shit.
And most of it's garbage.
Exactly. And you can't be like, oh, I heard this, like all of it, you know how it is. I couldn't even begin to say, oh, you're not cool with this person. Where are you even with people?
My heart is open. My phone is open. I have not had a lot of communication with anybody on my current castmates outside of Sonia. And Sonia and I like our relationship because we don't overdo it. You know, it's not like we're sitting on the phone 2 hours a day. It's like you see something, you know, in the news cycle or funny on Instagram, you send it to me, we comment, we kiki, or if something even more substantive imprompts us to reach out to one another, that's what we do. Outside of that, not a lot of conversation with any of the other women since, oh gosh, the fall. Like October-ish is probably about the last time I spoke to anybody, you know, for Leah. Yeah, the last conversations I think I directly had with Leah, Luann were in October. And I think Ramona, it might've even been early October.
Do you think the shift and all this crap starting is because they truly think that you are coming for them? Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. So and I think they didn't think I was coming for them on the show. Because when you watch the episodes, they're not actually that explosive at all. And then we had a beautiful finale, you know, that was real. That wasn't fake. That was like, all right, we're actually enjoying each other and, you know, playing this stupid Harry Dubin game and putting on these ugly ass costumes and having a good time.
Right.
That was fun. And I think we all left thinking when we picked this back, I think we all left thinking we're all coming back and we're all in a really like nice, it took us all season to get here. And we're going to be able to pick up where we left off next season. That was 100% the vibe. And then the episodes aired and, there was a reaction and then the press and then interviews and then this and this. And then here we are today.
Do you think that the reunion, were you shocked that it was canceled?
Yeah, I was actually.
There's
the old naive Ebony again. Yeah, I really
was. Shocked. I don't know, but like, I was shocked. I couldn't even believe it. But in the same sense, I was like, but people probably want to shut some stuff down. Like, we don't want, like, maybe, for example, Ramona being on blast for her behavior. Like, what do you think we would have seen at the reunion had we been able to have it?
Listen, it depends on the edit, but I know what I would have done at the reunion was the same thing I always do, Melissa, is come in, like, I had legitimate questions, you know, like, I wanted to know why I was being scapegoated as preachy or threatening around Ramona's relationship with racism when I'm not even the one that introduced that theme to our dynamic or our season. That was Luann and Sonia Morgan that right. came into my apartment and said, oh, don't play yourself, Ebony, because Ramona's using you and Bershawn and putting y'all's cute little photos on Instagram all of a sudden so that she doesn't look racist. Y'all said that about your friend of right. 20 and 30 years respectively, not me. So those were some of the questions that I would have had at reunion. And I wanted real answers because maybe what they could have said is, well, you know, that rumor had been out there or that element had been out there and we were blah, 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 whatever the fuck they said or really thought. But we saw none of that. I don't think people, including my castmates, including the audience, was really ready to finish the work. That's what I think that's the sad thing to me. I think so much of the hard part of the work was already kind of in the can. You know, we had actually made a great deal of progress that right. season and gotten some like honesty and some truth and some like, all right, this is you, this is me, let's go. And then it was, I think, kind of undone in the process of the airing of the episodes and everything that happened subsequent.
But again, do you think it's because, again, everyone has an opinion. Do you think it's because you're strong and, you know, you're educated, or do you think it has something to do with that you're African-American?
No, I don't think it has to do with me being Black in terms of their reactions to me. No, I think if I was, I mean, I think we can look at white housewives of yesteryear yep. and Roni and see that same kind of stonewalling. So no. I think it's my personality. And Leah actually makes this point a little bit in Salem, you know, one of those nights, like Ebony's just different. Like she's not like me and Tinsley, where we both kind of let y'all veterans kind of haze us and run over right. us and put us in our place as newbies. Like I'm not here for that. And by the way, all those women could be Black. And it would have been that right. same dynamic for me. You know, totally. Trust me, I've got a slew of Black women you can ask.
It's so true because listen, everyone will say this about Vicky. You come on the show, you're going to get hazed by big Vicky, by the vets.
Honey, I would love to have spent some time with Miss Vicky Gummelson, and I'm a Vicky fan.
Yeah.
But it would have gone down different because honey, I ain't Gretchen.
Oh, geez. I mean, but it's true. It's everywhere. But like you said, look at what social media does. It's not because you're a newbie and that's what the vets do to everybody. Right. They do it because you're Black.
Right. And I don't actually think that's true at all. I think right. I appreciate you making this distinction. See, this is nuance. This is like critical thinking skills.
Right.
Yeah, that was because I'm new. That's because right. I was 47, right?
Young one, that's young because, hot yeah, one.
Yeah, young, single, this, that, right. the, whatever. So all of those dynamics at play. And I just don't think they were used to somebody who doesn't give a fuck like that. Like I respect your positioning as veterans and OGs, but you're going to get the respect that you give.
Right.
And that's how I just move through this world.
Honestly, talking to you, I'm like, okay, so in season one, you went through, like, I feel like you have been on, it was so much that you were on for like 5 seasons.
It was a lot, but of course I would do it again, only because again, maybe this is me. This is my blind spot in naiveness. I kind of think some of the hard part's over in that way. Not that another season wouldn't have its shit.
Right.
But I think it would be different shit. You know what I mean? I think it's, you know, I think it takes a year to kind of get your sea legs. And I think you add COVID, you add the most consequential racial reckoning our nation's seen since the Civil Rights Movement, which we're still very much in, by the way. And you get that people, for better or worse, all the women of Roni know who I am, Melissa.
Right.
And they know my boundaries. And they know what I'm going to deal with and what I'm not going to deal with. And I can say the same for them. Some of them have boundaries that I understand. Like with Ramona, there's not going to be any more of like, come on, Ramona, I get it. Ramona's right. where she's at. And now we can respect those limitations and lean into the spaces where there's opportunity for connection.
You know, I was watching Ultimate Girls Trip because Ramona's on it.
But go ahead.
Yeah. But I'm just
kidding. Yeah. My mom watched it. Go ahead.
But like, I'm just seeing how Ramona has been on as long as she has, from The Real Housewives of New York to Ultimate Girls Trip, and it's like the same behaviors and patterns. Are you shocked that they haven't been? Look what happened to Dallas. Leanne Locken You're and I think that's,
well, yeah, but also look what happened to Dallas. Like, I think it's, I loved Dallas, probably. Yeah. Maybe, I loved Dallas, maybe because I'm from the South. I don't fucking know. I loved Dallas. I loved many of those housewives. I love those. I'm a day one Dallas watcher. Watched every season, every episode. I'm very close now with Tiffany Moon, but also DeAndres, who I met at Dave Quinn's party and just fell in love with her. And Mama D is the white version of my mama, Gloria Child.
I mean,
the point is, how sad is it? To me, I don't know what led to the decision of them not coming back, but I just think it's sad. I think it's like, it's an impasse. It's an impasse of saying the stakes got too high that now we don't know where to move forward. And I think that would be the greatest tragedy. And I don't foresee that for Roni. I think there's enough people invested in the future of Real Housewives of New York to say, we're not gonna let this get to an impasse. I'm first in line to say, I don't believe in an impasse here. We're gonna figure out a navigation path forward.
But do you think it's crazy that like they will shut down, they will fire somebody on another franchise for certain behaviors, and then it has continued for a very long time on New York?
I think you gotta remember they're different fan bases, Melissa. That's the one thing I was very naive about. Not naive, I just didn't know. You don't know what you don't know. I've been naive about some things. This I just didn't pay attention to. The fan base for Atlanta, Potomac, even Beverly Hills, Roni, and New Jersey. Massively different.
Yeah.
Those are literally different groups of millions of people tuning in on a weekly basis. And I do think what is true of Ramona Singer, could the show go with or without Ramona? I mean, I don't think anybody's non-replaceable.
Right.
I do think this fan base is in a very unique relationship with Ramona Singer.
Just because it's been so long. It's white, it's New York City.
It's all the things.
Yeah.
Totally. He just embodies so much of what has, historically at least, made this show successful. That's a fact. And so then the question becomes, do we still move in that direction? Or I think what the attempt was in season 13, do we add a dynamic that's, you know, kind of tit for tat more or less in terms of energy and conviction and see what that looks like. Then the question becomes, can they make space for each other? Can Ramona and the crew make space for this and? Because I personally don't think it's about getting rid of OGs.
Right.
I don't like what that did to Orange County. That's just me.
Totally. I was going to say, they got rid of Tamara and Vicky.
Yeah, I think it's doing great this season, but I think it'd be better with Vicky and Tamara?
Mm-hmm.
I do. Totally. And Noella, and it, you know, and it's not or, it's and.
In addition to.
Yes, but here's the caveat. To do what in addition to, which allows you to keep a vintage fan base and grow your fan base, you know, which was also, you know, all this talk about ratings. Well, Roni had been a bit stagnant when it came to its ratings for many, many years.
Right.
Okay. So I think the thought was, let's retain and let's grow. And you're only going to do that if you infuse the casting with something that allows to attract new viewership. So the one thing that I know for a fact is people, women of color, younger women, what a hardworking, like boss ass, like white women that are like at firms and shit. They were like, girl, I never watched this show before because it felt so not relatable. And I'm watching now because of, you know, I see myself in you.
Right.
You know, and so that, and I think you need like three more like me, you know, and some of the OGs. And I think then you have a show.
And you watched all of Real Housewives in New York City. Who's like one, not, I'm not saying from your cast, but like any of them that you would be like, I would love to do this show with?
Bethany. Of course. And I mean, is that a pie in the sky fantasy? Probably. But mainly because Bethany to me would be like a peer mentor, you know, like somebody who I'm looking to emulate her kind of grit. I mean, I've got it, you know, so to see somebody who made good with it.
Right.
That would be interesting. But also somebody who like, I'm not like it wouldn't be a Jill Bethany dynamic, you know, with me and her, because I'm not coming from no place.
Right. You know? Totally.
I'm a legitimate force already in my own right. So I think that would be very interesting.
That would be so dope, you two together. Because you guys don't take shit. So it's just like, okay, what do you got? Go, let's go, let's go. Right? Let's go.
Yeah. And I think that Bethany, because of what happened between her and Jill Zarin, which to me is like top three most iconic housewives dynamic ever, I think she would have enough respect for a woman like me who's done a lot, done the most with the least, which is to me the Bethany Frankel model,
right?
To not do what I at least perceived as a viewer that Jill did, which is like try to hold somebody in a marginalized position to your social standing for the sake of your ego.
Have you ever talked to Bethany?
You know, this is so funny. I haven't really told this story much. I met Bethany Frankel exactly one time in my life. It was my ex-fiance and I, we were in, obviously not ex at the time, and we were on one of those like Uber jets, you know?
Yeah.
So she was in the seat behind me and he had a friend. I hope Bethany doesn't mind me sharing this. She was not with Paul at the time. My ex had a friend who swore to God that he was talking to Bethany Frankel on Bumble. And I was like, boy, bye. There is no fucking way that that's accurate. You're getting catfished. This is stupid as fuck. Good night. But he was like, no, I talked to her on the phone. Whatever. My ex had bet his friend that there's no way this is Bethany. So here we are on this jet. You know, it's like right out of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right.
You gotta now ask her. So he wakes Bethany from her slumber, which I was like,
don't wake the sleeping bear.
Funny. So he wakes this woman up on this jet and is like, excuse me, I've got to settle this bet. I've got $50 riding on. Are you actually talking on Bumble to my friend so-and-so? And she's like, oh, so-and-so, the dip girl. So then I had to pay my ex like $50. He had to pay his 50 because it was true. She was really talking to this guy, but which was fine, you know, whatever. We all, you know, I'm on Raya right now. Who gives
right,
a fuck?
Right,
but you know, whatever.
Go.
right. Swipe. I mean, God, anyways. But no, like it was true. And then she was like, yeah, but he was like really clingy, which, okay, facts.
Right.
She's like, so we never linked up. So that was the story. So anyways, and then we just kind of started having like a, just a, you know, people meet and greet conversation. And she was asking, what was the deal with me and my ex? Because we had been together for 3 years. She's like, are you going to marry? What are you going to do? You know how Bethany is.
Bethany.
You know, and I appreciated it because I don't know if you've ever been in this kind of relationship, Alyssa, I hope for your sake not, where you're like, this is working. Why are you stagnating? And you almost start a, like a lobbying effect of like, oh. So I'm like, yeah, Bethany, get him, Bethany. And she's like, what the fuck? Like, you know, because he's an older guy and it was a question of like, does he want more kids? She's like, let me ask you this. She's like, if she'd had a kid when she met you and she's still the love of your life and all these things, would you be with her? And he was like, yes. She's like, okay, then you should be with her. And she's like, and you, and she points to me, she goes, have your baby. She goes, have your baby with or without him. She says, no disrespect, sir. She's like, but you, young lady, having my daughter is the best thing that ever happened to me. And everything that I've gone through in the press, which everyone sees, she's 1,000% worth it. She says, don't, because of this, you and this guy, not have your baby. And that was Bethany's advice to me.
So what do you think
and about having I'm heeding baby? It. Yeah, I'm going to have my baby. I mean, I'm going to have my baby in the next 12 to 24 months, single or partnered. Yeah, which is, you know, whatever. It's a whole
eggs and all that.
Yeah, I've already frozen eggs. I hope, you know, but I'm you know, starting my donor search in September.
I love that.
But that was my brief experience with Bethany. And it told me that if we were to ever have more time together, I think it would be a vibe.
Would you ever reach out and be like, what do you think of the show?
No, I think that's so. And a lot of people do that. Personally, I think it's corny. That's just, but a lot of people in the Housewives universe do a lot of that. And they comment and like, oh, check your DMs. It's not my vibe. You know, Bethany's a very fucking busy woman. I'm not like a clout chasing type of bitch. So I respect what she's doing. I'm sure she's aware in some sense of what the fuck is going on with season 13. And if she is interested in returning to this franchise, I am certain that the people that need to be having those conversations are having those conversations. In the meantime, I think Dorinda, I think there's other people also that can infuse some connective tissue.
Yeah.
That's what I'll call it. Some connective tissue into a this and that scenario.
Is it weird? Because you talked to Sonia and Sonia's obviously good friends with Ramona. So is it ever like, he doesn't feel like, and Ramona's not getting her shit?
I'm not like dumb. Like that's your friend for 30 years. Like,
right.
What, like, because you click with me for 9 months, that's going to super. No, I'm like, that's where I'm real good, Melissa. I am very much, self-awareness is one of my strengths.
Yeah.
So I understand not only are these two women 30 year long friends, they are aligned in what the show means to them.
Right. Totally. So, And this is their thing. Listen, you gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go. I could talk to you forever.
Oh my God, I love you. Thank you. I can't wait.
I loved my poem. Thank you, Melissa.
I'll send it over Jasmine for you.
Good. We'll talk.
All right. Have a good day. Bye. Thanks, Ebony.
Thank you so much for listening to Side Piece. Make sure to follow on Instagram with the handle at Side Piece Show. That's at SIDEPIECESHOW, at Side Piece Show. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.